This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got the big story of the evening here coming up is the President Trump re-election launch in Orlando. And it seems as though massive numbers are expected to show up. This is going to be, I guess, a big party. I don't know if you've got details on that, Tony. Let us know what the numbers are so far. I think it's interesting to think about what Donald Trump is going to be facing in 2020, because if you believe the poll numbers, Joe Biden is leading the pack on the other side. This is the guy who wants to defeat Donald Trump.
Number one, we have the greatest income inequity in the history of the United States of America since 1902. And the fact of the matter is there is plenty of money to go around. The first thing I would do as president was eliminate the president's tax cut.
Joe Biden says there's plenty of money to go around. Well, Joe Biden, who might be in charge of making it go around? How does one make money go around when it comes from the mouth of a politician? I guess that means that Joe Biden would be the one to make it go around. You know what another word for that is? Redistribute. Redistribute the wealth. That's what Joe Biden wants to say, and he is going to determine what is considered inequitable, and he is going to make it equitable. This guy wants to be president of the United States. He wants to undo the president, eliminate the president's tax cut, and, you know, make sure all of that wealth that exists in this country gets around. And you can trust him because, I don't know, why? Why? What has he done in his political career? Has he done anything that has contributed to where the United States is today? Has he really been involved in government in a way? He's, you know, been in the background, and now all of a sudden he's on the scene and he went, no, wait a second. He's been in government for decades and decades and decades. So maybe the reason why the problem exists the way it exists right now is partially because of his representation in the Senate. And being the vice president for 8 years, now you're going to fix it, Joe Biden? Now it's a problem? Oh, the economy is booming right now, and your answer to a booming economy is to take away the president's tax cuts and redistribute wealth. Yeah, get in line to vote for that. Give me a break.
And so, folks, look, if you start off with the notion there's nothing you can do, well, why don't you all go home then, man? Or let's start a real physical revolution if you're talking about it. Because we have to be able to change what we're doing within our system. Because you talk about the creed. We the people. We hold these truths self-evident. We haven't always lived up to that standard. But we've never fully abandoned it. And the moment we abandon it, we lose everything we stand for.
What? Huh?
What?
It's like someone gave him, it's like a game where you take three different pieces of historical information and you've got to put them all in the same paragraph or you lose. Well, dude, I think you're probably going to lose. I listened to what he's saying here, and he is saying all of the things that he believes people want to hear. The people who are listening this far away from the actual primary. What do these folks want to hear? Now, how many, like, what percentage of American voters are not interested in the 2020 election right now? It's the middle of June of 2019.
Oh my gosh.
The election is in November of 2020. Who is saturating themselves right now? And oh my gosh, hand wringing over who is going to be the Democratic nominee. We have to beat Donald Trump so much. It's all of the people who are going to be running to the polls to vote against Donald Trump, no matter whether or not it's Joe Biden or a stalk of corn that's going to be running against Donald Trump. I hope that's not somehow offensive to somebody. Maybe it's offensive to corn or farmers who haven't been able to get their fields planted because it rained too much. It's going to rain tomorrow. Sorry, folks. Joe Biden is playing the hits in the sense of, let's talk about income inequality. Let's talk about something that has to do with we the people. Let's throw that in there. It's like a stew.
You mix it all
together. A really big pot. Throw in all of the talking points that people want to hear, at least this early, because the majority of us are trying to figure out how to make sure you get to Walmart this evening and make sure that you pick up the dry cleaning and you've got to take a dinner to Sally because she just had a baby. So you're trying to figure out how to do all of these things in the same day. Nowhere in the middle of that is, gosh, Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren, I just don't know what to do. This is really important and I got to figure this out by 5 o'clock tonight. People don't care. As a matter of fact, I think the majority of you are annoyed by it and kind of sick of all of the soap opera dramatics that go around the ins and outs of this early, early Democratic primary conversation. Oh, but wait, there's more.
It's ridiculous that we have this extreme change that's going on. Deep inequities in our society. Our policy discriminates against and devalues Black people, Native Americans, people of color, women, LGBTQ individuals, people with disabilities.
Check. You got them all there, Joe Biden, I hope. And if you didn't, then you should be ready for the social justice rage that's going to come your way for not mentioning the one disenfranchised demographic there that needs to be mentioned. What policies is he talking about that discriminate against all of these people? You know what a good economy does? It provides opportunity. Do you know what opportunity does? It gives people the chance to have success. It doesn't guarantee them success because you can't guarantee anybody success in anything. Not in this country, because it's not how we operate. What we need to do is provide as much opportunity for people to find something that they enjoy and can be good at so that they can provide for themselves and not rely on anybody like Joe Biden to make sure that they get what they need at the end of the day.
Number one. We have the greatest income inequity in the history of the United States of America since 1902. And the fact of the matter is, there is plenty of money to go around. The first thing I would do as president was eliminate the president's tax cut.
It's obnoxious. It's insulting to the American individual. And I don't care if you're a Harvard grad and million-dollar making lawyer who's really good at what you do, or a brain surgeon, or if you are a union worker or a bag checker or somebody who is a stay-at-home parent, because you have the option to be. And so you're not making an income, but you're providing an opportunity at home to raise kids and give them the attention, the family unit attention that these kids deserve and need. All of these people are included in who Joe Biden is talking about in that statement. And his solution to the income inequality that we have today is to repeal Trump's tax cuts and redistribute wealth. Once again, this is the Bernie Sanders model, where we hear about how big business, wealthy people are the evil people in our country. And the funny thing is, the way they talk, they're trying to sell to the people who aren't the wealthy people the lifestyle, the security, the comfort that is enjoyed by those wealthy people. But Joe Biden's response, Bernie Sanders' response, Elizabeth Warren's response, Kamala Harris's response, and all the other people who probably won't matter in a year, All of their response is that that security and that comfort is accessible to you, but only through them. The only way that you are going to be provided the comforts of the wealthy people is at the hand of electing a Democrat in any office, specifically the office of the presidency. So if you are on this side of the equation where you've got the man and you've got yourself and you're always getting down by the man, if that's what you are used to, if that's the way you look at things, and you have a Joe Biden, a white knight on a white horse riding in to save the day, you're still on the same side of that equation. It's just that the man is now Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris or Bernie Sanders, because they're in charge of the redistribution of wealth. If you want to be in charge of this, you know what you get? You get an opportunity. You take a risk. You start a business. You go out of the house for the first time and try to start a career in something. You get an education or you learn a trade. And you go out and you try something. And maybe you become massively wealthy at it. Maybe you start working at a business for minimum wage and you realize you enjoy it. You're good at it, and you want to start your own business because you think you can do it better. That's the American way. Joe Biden deciding that he's going to usher himself into the White House and fix all your problems is the opposite of the American way. We thrive when government gets out of our path, when they deregulate to the point where we can have success without some sort of expected limitation on what that looks like for ourselves. And as long as we're not infringing upon somebody else's pursuit for that happiness and effort towards success, as long as our runway towards what we can achieve doesn't cross over somebody else's, in America, you celebrate the success. When something finally takes off, that is something worth championing, worth being proud of, worth celebrating with one another. Because when you do that, chances are you provide somebody else the opportunity that maybe started your runway to success. But Joe Biden wants to be the whole thing for you. He wants you to understand that the only way that you can have a good life in the United States of America is if he says so, if he gets elected and his policies get put into place. When I listen to President Trump talk, and I know he's egotistical, don't argue with me on that. You can't. I dare you to. 314-241-9797. He's egotistical. He has a massive ego. But he's not pretending to be something he's not. Obama had a massive ego, but the polished nature, the most polished politician I've seen in my lifetime. Mike Pence is super polished. It happens on both sides of the aisle. It's not to say that being polished indicates party or even whether or not you're a good politician or bad politician. Donald Trump is not polished. He has a massive ego. He has success that he's built this ego on, and he brings it straight to you. But when you listen to him, you know you are getting Donald Trump. And what Donald Trump celebrates in his presidency is you. Is the idea that this government thing, this swampy thing that has existed in our past, that has pulled the strings on the left side of the aisle and on the right side of the aisle, is not the way for America to achieve the greatest success. It's with you. And if starting a successful business in St. Louis, Missouri, or one of its many beautiful suburbs, that is never going to have, you know, a national chain, but it's going to be something that you love, that you built from the ground up, you're passionate about, and you're good at it, and you want to try, and you make it a success, that is worth celebrating. Not squashing. Not making punitive regulations that lump business owners into some sort of wealthy class when you know full well that the way that those numbers are calculated, you're not living the lifestyle that other people on the other side of the aisle are suggesting that you are. You're just working really, really hard. And if you enjoy some success on that, if you're able to take a vacation and celebrate that, if you're able to provide for your family or maybe even provide for others through charitable donations, that is worth celebrating, not redistributing. The government is not the only way that a dollar can be used to help somebody. In fact, it's one of the most ineffective ways to help somebody else, because by the time you give the dollar to the government and it gets to the people who need to use that dollar, it's not a dollar anymore. Joe Biden doesn't want you to know that. Donald Trump won a campaign on that, and I think he'll win one again in 2020. Let's take a quick break. Mark Cox is going to join us when we come back. The Mark Cox Morning Show is 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. And also, he's got this event coming up on Thursday, June 20th at 7 p.m. at Lindenwood's J. Scheidegger Center for the Arts. I think tickets are still available for that. 971talk.com/events. Get your free ticket reserved right now. And we'll talk to Mark as soon as we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I learned a long time ago about polling. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. I mean, right now, I got nowhere to go but up. But I have started many a race as an underdog.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Says he's got nowhere to go but up in the polls. That's a bright way to look at it.
Positive attitude, I guess. That's what you got.
Any Bill de Blasio cut that you give me, I will play. Just nice. So that I can have one Randy Quaid. I wonder if Randy Quaid's been busy lately. He seems like he's cranking out the content.
Mm-hmm. Got nothing else to do but make those YouTube videos.
Good grief. Check him out. It's something else for sure. Speaking of polls, where did he go? Did I do something?
He was just there.
Mark Cox, call us back. I'll blame them. He says Mark didn't answer. Well, Mark Cox is supposed to be on with us, but he'll be with us here in a minute, I'm sure. When you think about the polling conversations that take place, glad I didn't fire his intro. When you think about the polling conversations that are taking place right now and the harping on the poll numbers and Donald Trump being in such a deficit, according to all these polls, don't you think it's kind of ridiculous that after 2016, they got him so wrong that all of these people who need it so badly to be true that he's trailing in the polls are now like, but look at the polls.
Mm-hmm. Which mean even if you did believe polls, which, as you mentioned, after 2016, they are difficult to take seriously. All the polls, Brett Baird put out a great graphic yesterday that showed the polls at this point between where Ronald Reagan stood at this point in his reelection, which I guess would have been 83 going into 84. How he was down by like 11 points. He showed the same thing about Bill Clinton was down by like 15 points to Bob Dole.
It's June of 2019.
So even if you do believe polls, then you have to also believe that polls have been consistently wrong about presidential reelections at this stage of the game. That typically people at this stage of the game are a little frustrated, or they think the change would be good. And then as the campaign drags on, minds change, polls change.
Do you think that everybody who supports Joe Biden is automatically going to support Bernie Sanders if he gets it, or if Kamala Harris gets it, or
no.
Kirsten Gillibrand?
No, because we saw that with Obama and Hillary Clinton. All the people that supported Barack Obama didn't just automatically support Hillary Clinton. If they would have, then she would have won.
And Joe Biden is some sort of different type of Democrat than Bernie Sanders. He might be leaning more towards the left, but he's still not as far as Bernie.
And Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are different, which mm-hmm. means that once, you know, I think it's funny when they're like five different candidates for the Democratic nomination are beating Trump. Well, when any one of those wins the nomination, the consolidation doesn't automatically happen. There is definitely absolutely going to be an anti-Trump vote for sure. People who hate him, who can't wait to vote against him because they hate him. But also at the same time, I just don't think that if you are somebody who would like to see Joe Biden become president, that you're automatically going to sign up for socialism and Bernie Sanders at all.
Nope.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I don't know about him.
Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1 on Twitter at Mark Cox 971. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, happy Stanley Cup Tuesday. How are you?
Absolutely. Yeah. According to Frank, you were in the basement. That's the update that we
I am. Get. I was in the basement working on a honey-do list, actually.
Good
yes,
for you.
I was.
Yeah, we've been talking about honey-do list here. I think it's worth noting that Tony Colombo has manufactured yet another air diversion over away from Denise's spot on your show and his spot on my show. And more air will be coming towards the host spot, so you will be extra cool come tomorrow morning if this thing holds up.
Hey, you know what? I'm only looking out for Denise. So, Tony, thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Tony is only looking out for Tony, so Annie it works out well.
Annie put a very well-said qualification on that statement, if it holds up. So if it's there tomorrow morning, I think all of us will be a little bit
good.
Shocked. Yeah. Well,
we'll
see.
The first one's held up with Gorilla Tape, so let's hope that that works.
This one's up with Gorilla Tape as well. So
I wanted to ask you, Mark, about the Orlando Trump rally tonight, the official launching of his 2020 campaign. What do you expect to hear from Donald Trump this evening?
Well, I think you've gotten a sample of it with his immigration talk the other day, and I think he's going to hammer the Democrats on their laser-focused, horse-blinded effort to chase down every possible angle or investigation of wrongdoing they could on him. At the same time, they've chosen to, you know, largely ignore Hillary Clinton. I think we're going to hear a lot about her tonight because of this revelation that that the Justice Department investigation has uncovered sanctions against what was it, 15 or 16 Department of Justice employees who either had knowledge of or knew that she was using a private server and did nothing about it. My only question is, why did that take so long? I think the president's going to ask the country that tonight.
Well, let's listen. I'm going to play here real quick. Jason Chaffetz talking about that very issue. Maybe is it on?
Hillary Clinton and her team would take that material and then transpose it or take it and put it in a non-secure setting. That's why the number of 15 is very low. These people should have immediately lost their security clearances, and they should have also been prosecuted, because if you were in the military, if you were a contractor and you had classified information, you'd probably be in jail right now.
Do you think the president's going to be able to capitalize even more now on the double standard that exists in our Justice Department, the way we approach wrongdoing politically in this country? I mean, he has been bearing the brunt of this, you know, we call it the flip test here because Tony's on the show, but there's not a fairness that exists in the way Trump has been handled and Hillary has been handled. And it's almost like Donald Trump has been able to use this now as an asset on the campaign trail.
Well, he needs to, but I still worry because the Democrats have the political action committee known as the mainstream media working on their behalf. On a daily basis, they hammer home their point of view, the point of view that they want the public to have about this investigation, that there's still some lingering question about obstruction, you know, that oh my gosh, he would talk to a foreign leader. If a foreign leader called him with information, that's illegal, which we know that it isn't, because I've had Hans von Spakovsky on my show, and I know you have, and he said he was on the election commission, and that is not illegal if somebody called you up and offered that. If you chose to use it somehow or return some favor in regard for that phone call, that's when you start getting into murky waters. But what the president said was not, didn't even border on being illegal. But if you only watched MSNBC or CNN this week, you'd be convinced that he had broken the law and needed to be impeached. So I'm not sure, Annie, as much as you and I see it every day and we live it and breathe it, and we see how unfair the coverage is, I don't know if he can leverage that at this point or not.
You know, I want to ask you to talk a little bit about that Hans von Spakovsky and J.J. Carafano event that you have this Thursday, where people can still get tickets at 971talk.com/events, because two things are, the stars are aligning here perfectly for this event that you're going to be hosting on Thursday night with what is taking place in Iran. J.J. Carafano is one of the best resources to have discussions about that. And also, as we've had Hans on our show talking about the Mueller report and the investigation into the investigation. What do you expect to see or hear on Thursday night at this event as you're hosting these two individuals?
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Insight from J.J. Carafano, not only on what's going on in Iran, but on the crisis on the southern border, because, you know, when it comes to anything foreign affairs, Carafano's all over it, and he knows it's a crisis. He's been down there to visit recently, and I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. You know, Spakovsky's will talk about not only what's going on with Mueller, but the Supreme Court is only got a week and a half left. So basically, next Monday, they've got to release the rest of what are going to be some pretty controversial decisions, including a decision on whether to ask the citizenship question on the census. So hopefully we're going to have Hans here with great perspective on both of those. I mean, he's been covering this from the very start, and I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on the gay wedding cake story that came out of Oregon this week with the Supreme Court. Basically, all they did was punt. They punted that issue back to the local court, the state court, but at some point they've got to address that. The Supreme Court is going to have to address that issue at some point in the future.
Well, I want to encourage people to go to 971talk.com/events to get your free tickets reserved. You need to get that ticket reserved for the Thursday, June 20th event at 7 p.m. at Lyndon Woods, J. Scheidegger Center for the Arts. And Mark will be hosting J.J. Carafano and Hans von Spakovsky, and I'm sure it's going to be a riveting event and definitely something people are going to want to see. And like I said, it's free.
Yep.
Just reserve your ticket.
Hundreds of tickets have been claimed already, but it's a big place, and there's plenty of space. We just need a head count, so if people can register, that'd be great.
All right. Well, I know that the best interest for you right now is to get back to that honey-do list, and I will not keep you any longer. So thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the show today, and we look forward to hearing about that event after Thursday evening.
Great. Annie, thank you.
Yep. Talk to you soon. That's Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. Go tweet at him, Mark Cox 971, Mark with a C. Tell him thanks for coming on the show today and ask him what's on his honey-do list. Mostly so that if you tweet at Annie Fry Show and include that, I can think of things to add to my honey-do list. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Nope.
Do you make lists for your husband? Actual lists? Or do you ask favors? Do you nag?
It's ask favors. I say it's ask favors. I'm sure my husband has a different prerogative.
Does he say you nag? Does he think you nag?
He doesn't really say it, but whenever I ask him to do something, you know how men usually are exasperated? Fine. You know what that means. And
is that how we are?
Yeah, because all men are the same, right?
Especially you, Tony.
Especially Tony.
Fine.
All right. So you don't have to do it yourself. I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never says I nag. But I have a mental list,
mm-hmm.
and I make sure that David...
Do you have a mental scorecard?
I don't have one of those. I do have a mental list.
Yeah. Word to the wise, all the men listening to this, I'm sure, are fully aware of this at this point. When she says, nothing is fine, that's red alert. That's how you know that it is everything.
Messed it up.
And it is not fine.
Mark has the luxury of getting some of that honey-do list done now that he's doing the morning show, because he'll go home and it's still 10:30, 11 a.m., so he can just get right to it, right? Who
That's
needs a nap?
My nap would be happening. Oh, my gosh. As long as the nap happens after 9 a.m., if I'm in that position, woo!
Woo-wee.
I don't know about that. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to get to some phone calls here when we get back. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. What do you want to hear from President Trump tonight? What could he say tonight that you think would move the needle a little bit, not just the same old, you know, play the hits type of a rally? Anything different you expect from this one this evening? 314-241-9797. Back in a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
First of all, I plan on campaigning in the South. I plan, and if I'm your nominee, winning Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, believe it or not. And I believe we can win Texas and Florida if you look at the polling data now. Doesn't mean it's a marathon. It's a long way off.
Yeah, it is a long way off. I would hope he could, if he's going to run for president, I'd hope he believes he can win all those states. He's not going to win the presidency if he doesn't win some of them.
It's like Bill de Blasio. You just got to have a positive attitude.
It's like who?
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Think positive.
The internet is just a generous place.
Yup.
Where you can do whatever you dream of doing, and I can laugh.
There's some New York news.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
They passed the green light bill yesterday, which is designed to give undocumented immigrants the right to a driver's license.
The right to a driver's license.
That is correct.
I don't feel like I have a right to a driver's license. I had to attain it.
Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the bill into law overnight, making New York the 13th state.
I think Illinois is one.
Yeah, Illinois is one.
Oh, my gosh,
of course it is. In the United States to allow people without legal immigration status to obtain a driver's license. Whoa.
Wowie.
Wowie.
Thanks,
Bill
Illinois.
Bill de Blasio.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Governor Andrew Cuomo.
We need more.
That's what they're up to.
We need
13 states in America allow illegal immigrants.
Not allow,
I almost
it's
said
a right.
Undocumented immigrants.
Yeah.
Forget that word, illegal immigrants to a driver's license.
Hmm. Well, you know.
I am shook.
Shook.
It's a weird place that we live in here.
Sure,
but
is.
They put their foot down on, and I'm happy about this, they put their foot down on illegal immigrants obtaining firearms. Remember when Matt Gaetz was like trying to really, I mean, he's really funny and he's really quick, but Representative Matt Gaetz was trying to combat with these Democrats being like, well, you know what? If we're letting them in, let's just give them access to the Second Amendment. Let's just give them firearms. Like, no, not that. No.
Well, they don't want anybody to have guns.
That's true.
Why.
That's
they
true.
Don't want to start giving any, they don't want, any anybody
reasoning.
They can restrict firearms to, they're going to restrict firearms to. It doesn't have anything to do with rights. They do put their foot down, however. They will allow illegal immigrants to have driver's license. They will not allow you to have a 30-ounce Pepsi.
Bad for you.
Dang.
It's ridiculous. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show. Al, thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing? I'd like to make a comment on the polls. I'm a black American, native St. Louis, Trump supporter. I have a lot of friends. They weren't Trump supporters before the last election, but now we're talking about a lot of them are. A lot of people are doing better than they've ever done in their lifetimes.
And do they attribute that to the president?
Yes, ain't no doubt. They said we had a black face in a high place last 8 years previous to that, but we didn't have the economy we had. We didn't have the opportunities. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. Business is flourishing. The stock market, they're talking about their 401k. They said, well, you know, I didn't vote for Trump, but man, my 401k. When you finish with these polls, they didn't ask me, and I'm telling you, I have a lot of friends. We talk, and they're all over the place. Trump has a lot of black support, and it's growing. There is no way I'm going to change as well as we're doing right now just because of Pelosi or some polls. These people are crazy. I've left the Democratic Party. That was 15 years ago. Mm. But you asked for an investigation. I heard Nancy, I call her Nancy Pelosi because her face is hanging like my English bulldog, the cellulite. But she says, well, let's wait till we get the Mueller report. We have the report.
Yeah.
Now, that's not good enough. That's not good enough for it. It's because crazy.
And Al, that's because it's never the details. It's never the means by which it happens. It's the end that they're trying to attain. They determined how this was going to end before anybody even knew the details of what was behind that. That's how they operate.
But Annie, you know what they didn't plan on? They didn't plan on millions of people like me that they didn't poll. And when I close that little curtain in the booth, it will be a Trump vote.
Yeah. You know, let me ask
they
you this
didn't
question.
Ask me.
No.
And they didn't ask me last time either. Anyone.
Do you think that, you know, when I listen to these Democratic candidates, they're talking a lot to the African-American community. They want to make sure that you as a black man know that they are on your side. And I see lots of supporters on, you know, on social media who are black, who support this president. But I don't hear this president coming in front of a podium and a microphone talking about how he's helping black people.
Here's the point, Annie. The point is, he doesn't have to. He is. You know when you've been affected. You know when your life is better. You know when your financial. We're not stupid. I don't need a Democrat or a poll or a party to tell me who's in my best interest. Joe Biden, I'm old enough to remember. I was a kid then. His stand on desegregation, and it wasn't great. I asked you to pull it up. The Democrats will never get my vote. There is no reason to change. I'll let the College of Cardinals elect the next pope. I was looking for leadership, and that's what we're getting in Donald Trump. He's respected, by the way, all over the world. I have friends that travel internationally. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But we don't get that in this country. People are like, yeah, it's about time. Look at our trade agreements. Look at the middle. Who stood up to North Korea? Joe Biden and Obama, they just gave lip service. Who's standing up to the Iranians in the Persian Gulf?
Alan.
I mean, come on. We have leadership.
Yeah.
The rest of it, Pelosi and the polls and the CNN crap, they can take it and flush it down the toilet.
Al, you want to do the
We're not listening anymore.
We're not listening.
It's over. It's over for the Democrats. They've been saying that we're in our corner for 60 years.
Yeah.
And look at the state of Black America.
I love it, Al. Bunch,
they're professional liars. That's what they are to me. Those are pros.
Thanks for
Goebbels would have had. Goebbels would have hired every last one of them in his propaganda movement because they're good at what they do. They just, we're not listening anymore.
Al is fun. I like Al.
Al
is on it.
Wowie.
It's not the Al I thought was calling.
Me either.
Maybe that Al will call. That would set me up nicely. But Al, you know, this is the thing that I love about what he was saying. He doesn't need to be told that something's good for him if he's seeing it for himself. That is an autonomous comment to make. That politicians, it's their worst nightmare. That you, your two eyeballs and your two ears and the brain inside of your head are able to assess the situation for yourself. And to look at two people who are coming at you and saying, I'd like your vote. Or, you need my leadership. There's a difference in that statement. And when we play the identity politics game, and you're told that because I'm a millennial, because I'm a mother, because I'm a female, that somehow or another a political party is better for me, how do you know what my priorities are? How do you know what is the most important to me? Because I'm not just a female, I'm a Christian. I am a mother. I'm somebody who is caring about the people who I pass on the street who I don't know, and I'm caring deeply about the people who I do know, who need help, who maybe aren't able to help themselves. I'm not opposed to helping other people. I also don't require the government's intercession in order to make sure that any charity that I have to give, no matter how big or how small, gets to the place it needs to get to in order to help somebody. The government isn't the answer to every problem. In fact, many, many times, it's the problem that needs a better answer. Joe Biden doesn't understand that, but Al does. Al, thanks for calling the show. Kathy, hold on the line. I'm going to get to you when we come back. Also, we've got three lines open right now. 314-241-9797. All phone calls in the 2 o'clock hour. So join me. 314-241-9797. Big Trump rally tonight. We'll keep talking about it in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.